This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
Our second reading says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. Better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Christ also suffered for this. So, as we look at our gospel today and our readings, we see Jesus mentions the commandments and connects them with the word love. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the church's understanding of love comes from God himself, and it is revealed, which means it's not voted on. When the world had a chance to vote on whether or not to let God live, they voted to crucify Christ. The majority voted to free the murderer and crucify the sinless Son of God. So the majority vote isn't necessarily the wisest way to go. Now Jesus goes on to say, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot accept. Aha, the Spirit of truth. Well, if there is a Spirit of truth, which we believe to be the Holy Spirit, is there an unholy spirit? Well, our first reading says, for unclean spirits were crying out in a loud voice, coming out of possessed people, as Philip was going through proclaiming the gospel and doing exorcisms. Many paralyzed and crippled people were cured, and there was great joy in that city. So we see unclean spirits at work. So the unclean and lying spirits at work. What are the two characteristics that Jesus singled out in the Gospel of John chapter 8 for the devil? He said he's the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. How do those two connect? The father of lies, he said to Eve, you will not die if you disobey God's commandment and eat the forbidden fruit. Was he lying? Oh yeah. Last time I checked, all of us are scheduled to die sometime in the future. Nobody here is going to leave this world without experiencing death. Jesus himself dies on the cross. The punishment for sin is death. And the way that we got to the death, because Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning, how do we get to death? Through sin. How do we get to sin? Through lies. The father of lies gives us falsehoods to deceive us so that we do the wrong thing and sin and die. So they died spiritually. Adam and Eve lost grace and their relationship with God inside, and then they died physically. Instead of living forever, they were put out of the Garden of Eden. It said, before they can eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. So, the new tree of life is the cross. The fruit of the cross is the body and blood of Christ, Holy Communion. But there's also the truth of the cross. What is the truth of the cross? That we have sinned. That we need to be sorry. We need to do penance, which involves suffering and carrying our cross, to help work with the grace of God gained by Christ and his merits on the cross, so that we cooperate with his grace and become worthy of receiving, to be in a condition to receive the benefits of Christ on the cross by accepting the truth and living it. Now Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says to Pontius Pilate, all who are of the truth, listen to my voice. And then Pontius Pilate says, what is truth? revealing a skepticism of the time that we can easily see in our own time, a skepticism that has been with us from the beginning. So where does the big problem come in? Well, belief in God, that doesn't really put you on the outs, does it? Most people believe in God. Church doesn't get in trouble for believing in God. Believing in Jesus, lots of people believe in Jesus. That can cause some trouble some places, but that's not really the issue. Why does the Catholic Church get attacked more than any other denomination? What is it that they throw at us? Where is the epicenter of the attack? I believe it is centered on the sixth commandment and our understanding of it, and on the teaching of the sacrament of matrimony. So Jesus says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot accept. What happened to John the Baptist? He said to King Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. Your marriage is unlawful. So he put him in prison. And then the girl did the dance, and he was so impressed and full of alcohol that they asked for the head of John on a silver platter. And he granted it. And John was martyred for the teaching of the sixth commandment and the sacrament of matrimony. So, did the killing of John the Baptist end the truth of the commandment? I don't think so. Far as I know, if someone tries to jump off the Empire State Building, say they're going to break the law of gravity, I suspect the law of gravity will break them first. The question isn't whether something is an old law, as the church has often said. They follow these old laws. Catholic Church, they're crazy. The question isn't whether it's old, it's whether it's still a law. Is it a truth that is current? So the Catholic Church follows what we believe to be the truth revealed by God. Jesus himself quotes the book of Genesis. From the beginning, God made them male and female. Right there you have a controversy. The world ridicules us for hate speech. What do you mean marriage is between a man and a woman? I don't know. As far as we know, that's what God planned. That's what nature plans. It takes a man and a woman to reproduce and have children. As far as we know, it doesn't work any other way. There's no way you can complain about the laws of nature, but they are what they are. Children come from a man and a woman. Jesus goes on to quote the scripture in the book of Genesis, what God has joined, men must not divide. And the sixth commandment and the church's understanding of it is the epicenter for all the attacks and the ridicule. So what are the controversies? Well, you have the church's teaching that abortion is wrong, which is a way that the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, connects with the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. So it's sort of a plan B if contraception doesn't work. So what about contraception? The church gets ridiculed for that. God joined together life and love. It's not an accident that children come from the loving, intimate, physical union of sacred love between a man and a woman, hopefully in holy matrimony. That's the way God planned it. So, just starting out from the beginning, we're under attack. Man and a woman for marriage. Then we have marriage. Then we have the rules that physical intimacy is meant to be only within marriage, between a man and a woman, and it's to be open to life. So each one of those accounts, that's where the church really gets attacked and ridiculed. Hate speech, I guess they like to say. Well, I have a feeling God may have another perspective. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot accept. Pontius Pilate, what is truth? Christ says, I am the way and the truth and life. His teachings, So this is really where we have a big issue with the world. So we have judges passing laws to attack the family and marriage. Laws about marriage being between a man and woman, laws about divorce, making it so much easier for couples to get divorced. So you have the issue of divorce, remarriage, you have the issue of children outside of marriage, you have all of them. The epicenter is the Sixth Commandment and the teaching on matrimony. Well, I thought some of the church's teaching might have been too harsh or wrong. When I was a teenager, I began to study the teaching on contraception. I thought, well, I don't understand why the church is against it, but I thought, you know, I've never really studied it. I'm just a teenager. What do I know? Maybe, you know, the church has been around longer than me. Maybe they got a good reason. So I began to study it. And the more I studied it, the more I said, oh, I think they got this one right. Because to establish a physical barrier between the man and the woman, the husband and wife, the two become one flesh, or chemicals that change a woman's body, in some cases they can even die from it, they can have long-term effects. All of these are attempts to change and overrule what God has joined together. God put together life and love, children, and the marital act. It wasn't an accident. God's not up in heaven going, oh, boy, did I make a mistake? What did I do that for? How did that happen? No, God planned it that way. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, a Catholic church just wants us to become baby machines. They want us to have 50 kids. Well, I doubt if you could have 50 kids, first of all. Now, I know a lady who has 13. In probably the women are out there going, oh my gosh, how does she stay alive? Well, she's in pretty good shape. Her and her husband are both athletes, triathlon athletes. They're in good shape, and they're very happy. And the kids are happy. And they're homeschooled. And I asked her, I said, how do you manage the homeschooling? She said, well, I focus on the ones that are learning how to read, mostly. And then I give them assignments, and I get the older kids to help me with the younger kids. So kind of pairing off. The older boys help the younger boys, the older girls help the younger girls, so the children sort of assisting the parents in their role, and it helps them mature, become responsible, helps them grow in character. So it's not necessarily such a bad thing. It's kind of nice to have a family reunion, you know? Now we only have, now my mother lost a few in miscarriage, but I wouldn't mind having a bigger family. I've got one brother and one sister. Wouldn't mind having a couple more brothers, a couple more sisters. It might be nice. Nice family reunion. So the thing is, God has a plan. But that plan, the service of God, involves the cross and sacrificial love of God and neighbor. So the cross is what divides the world, especially when it comes to the church's understanding that God has revealed regarding the Sixth Commandment and the sacrament of matrimony. Like I said, it's the epicenter. What is truth? Many times people say, well, I know better than the church. You never want to say, oh, I know better than God, because you know that one's not going to work. So you say, well, me and God know better. The church got it wrong. And what about the Bible? Well, they're just interpreting it wrong. Bible got it, but that interpretation's wrong. I don't know. Pretty clear in the scripture to me. You're welcome to look at my catechism and teaching. The world encourages relations outside of marriage. There's an emotional bond that occurs that's really meant to be permanent. That's why the relations between a man and woman should be within marriage. There's also the risk from that kind of activity of social diseases, the risk of unplanned pregnancy, followed by the temptation to abortion. There's all kinds of complications. So when you follow the fullness of the truth of reality, you'll find that the church's teaching actually make a lot of sense in the realm of logic and reason. So one of the things we are called to do is to properly form our conscience. Your conscience is the last best judgment of what is right and wrong. And you should always follow your conscience. But you are called to form your conscience. Now, I could sit around with my fallen nature, which has an inclination towards sin because of Adam and Eve, and, you know, being emotional, and I could, you know, play God. I could make up my mind, you know, well, if I feel this is right or I feel it's wrong, it's go by how I feel, how my body feels, how I feel that day, how much do I want to sacrifice, what's right and what's wrong. I just make up my own mind, right? I could do it that way. Or I could say, well, maybe I can only get so far on my own. Maybe reason takes me so far and then revelation takes me the rest of the way to the fullness of the truth of Christ and Scripture and in tradition and the Word of God. Maybe I need to look at what they have to say before I just decide on my own, make up my own little Bible, my own little church, get to play God or Pope and make up my mind about how I want it to be. So the question, what is truth? We believe the truth is Jesus Christ. We believe his teachings are revealed from God through the church. And then we form our conscience on what is right and what is wrong. Now, the Holy Spirit is there to inspire us to go towards the truth. So if you have a problem and you say, well, you know, I don't think the church knows what it's doing on this one or that one or some aspect. Usually, again, the epicenter is the sixth commandment. Maybe you should try praying to God for guidance. Maybe you should open your heart and say, Lord, show me the way. Help me understand. Go online. Go to the Couple to Couple League. Read some of the stories and explanations about life and the couples that have experienced this. Tried it both ways. The life of contraception and the life of natural family planning. Working together with God's plan. It's amazing. The stories. Talk about opening your eyes. It's quite amazing. So properly forming our conscience and then letting the Holy Spirit guide us along the path of life, making decisions. So if we can get our conscience formed according to the Ten Commandments properly, then we know what's right and wrong and we live love. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. So the opposite is true. If we don't keep the commandments, then we're not really loving Christ, are we? And I will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Holy Spirit to dwell with you always, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot accept. Why? Because the world does not want to accept the cross. And that's why the world rejects Christ, rejects the Holy Spirit, rejects the truth. The world says with Pontius Pilate, what is truth? Skepticism, disbelief, doubt, ridicule, attack. As they attacked Jesus and crucified him, so too the church is constantly in the gun sights of the voice of the world, the media, the news media, the judges, the politicians ruling in favor of false laws, in favor of unnatural laws, in favor of things that go against God's law. The whole issue is trying to separate the physical pleasure of the body from the natural union of man and woman within marriage, open to life, till death do us part. That's where the war is. It's a war over the family, the sixth commandment, and matrimony. So if we can get there, it's a good thing. Then we're with Christ on the cross. Then we're with the church, and the world will attack us. And the Holy Spirit also, beyond helping us to get our conscience form right, also continues to guide us in things beyond that. I'm looking at putting up a very large roadside crucifix. And I was trying to think of what I wanted to put underneath it. I want to put a scripture quote. And I kept thinking, I want to put, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And something was telling me, you know, that's probably too big. What can I come up with that's short, that sends a message to people who drive by and glance over and see Christ on the cross with, I'm going to have angels kneeling on each side. What can I put that's from the scripture that's short? And I prayed to God for guidance, and it finally came to me all of a sudden. Two words that Jesus uses many times in the scripture. Follow me. And there will be Christ on the cross. So Christ says to us from the cross, follow me. When we follow Christ, we also carry the cross as he did. It involves the sacrificial love of God and man, love as defined by God. The world will define love in ways that involve sinful things, that contradict God's teaching. They'll even call it hate speech. Well, somehow I have a feeling they're going to have a little trouble convicting God of hate speech in eternity. I have a feeling they may have to answer for false speech, for lying, and attacking God's word in the next world. Our job is to follow Christ, and we follow him to the cross.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio homily of the day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.